Morning, church. Welcome to our 10-year anniversary. We're so thankful for you this morning. So thankful you're here. We've just about broke our whole system this morning with everything we're trying to do. So if you normally come, you know, normally our transitions are a little bit better than this, but maybe I'm the only one that cares about that, I hope. But I'm very thankful for you being here today. If you're new here, this is a little different than what we normally do together. We don't have all of these features every week, but today is a great day to be here. We had breakfast for you. We have lunch afterwards, all right? So please, if you can, stick around. We've got plenty of food for you. We got bouncy houses out back, I think, although I haven't seen them yet. I think they're back there. Has anybody seen them? They're there. Praise God, you know? I'm drumming. And if you can play drums, let me know after service. I don't care if it's your first Sunday. I'd love to know. But what a great day to be with the Lord Jesus and community. And I'm very thankful for a bunch of people. Let me give a shout out to a handful of people first. First and foremost, the Capolettis have done an incredible amount of work. If you don't know them, that's Christy and James. They're running around. They're cooking. They're making things. They got the tent for us. The Canes, who only half of them are here, Kendra and Michael, we're very thankful for them. There's been people all at Izzy, I don't know where, I think she might be serving. She's apparently the balloon master. So if y'all need balloons pumped up, I'm just saying, she's pretty good at it. But anyway, there's been people working all over the building. And my tech team today, I thank you. You know, it's been a morning. But we're having a great time. We're finishing up a series together. And if it's your first time with us, don't worry. These have all kind of stood alone in a way. And so we've been going through this series called The Power of Spiritual Habits, The Power of Spiritual Disciplines, if you will. And we've talked about our devotional life, our fellowshipping together, even our generosity. We've been talking about these things for 6 weeks now. So you've come on the tail end, totally fine. But we're picking up today on the habit of witness, and that's where we're going to finish next week. If you come back, we're going to jump back into the book of Hebrews. We've been working through that for several years. We are finishing Hebrews together this fall, and so I know that will be a blessing to you, so please come back and check that out. But this morning, we're digging into our last spiritual habit, and there are many more than the seven that we've worked on, but these were just some big topics that we wanted to deal with you. And so I want to remind you of something, and I want you to hear this above all things this morning. Spiritual habits, spiritual disciplines are not ends, they are means towards an end. So what I mean by that is your devotional life, your prayer life, these are not the end goal. The end goal is what? To know and worship and enjoy Christ forever. That you would learn Christ's likeness, that you would spend quality devotional time with him. And witness is no different. It's not like the end of, once I finally become the perfect Christian, just so you know, that never happens. When Christ comes and takes us home, perhaps we will finally be without sin and we will finally know what that means. But until then, we're working towards that destination. So witness is not like the final boss of your spiritual life. It's just one of many habits that lead you and help you learn more about who Christ is in your life. And so I pray that you can hear this morning and yield to the Spirit as he works on you and on your heart. And the series theme has been for this whole series out of Ephesians chapter 4. It says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So that's my prayer for you. That's my hope for you, is that you will let the Spirit lead you and renew your thoughts and attitudes, such then you can become the witness that Christ has made you to be. This is a spiritual habit. I don't know if you've ever heard it put this way before, but your witness is one of your spiritual disciplines. I'm not sure if you've thought of it that way, but I pray after today you would consider this, that witnessing is a part of what it means to be a believer and a part of the process of being in faith, that we would also share our faith. And so what is witnessing? Well, here's one of the simplest definitions I've ever heard. I was in Campus Crusade for Christ when I was in college, and so I studied a lot of the material that Bill Bright put out. He's the one who founded that. But this is a very simple explanation. He says, witnessing is simply taking the initiative to share Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. It is very simple, although it is very frightening. For some of you, it is terrifying. And so I want to give you, really develop something for you today that I hope will not only relieve that tension, but also encourage you to live out the purpose that God's really called you to and to be. So why witness? Here's four really quick reasons, and then we're going to dig into our text. Christ, first of all, Christ commanded it. Christ commanded it. I recited this verse earlier when we were doing baptism together, and that's out of Matthew 28. We call that the Great Commission, but it also appears again in Mark 16 where it says, he said, he here is Jesus, he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. This is the instruction he gave to his disciples and now to us, his modern day disciples. He commanded it. Here's a second quick reason, because people are lost without Jesus. It's simple, but it's true. They're walking blindly without salvation in Christ. Acts 4:12 says there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name in all of heaven for people to call on to save them. Did you know that verse was in the Bible? There's salvation in no one else but Jesus. Number three, a third quick reason is because Christ's love compels us. It compels us. It pushes us. 2 Corinthians 5 says, Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And so in Christ Jesus, we have this love pushing us. And then the last reason, and this is the reason that I want to dig on today. It's because it is necessary for our spiritual growth. It is necessary for our spiritual growth. I don't know if you've considered this before. I pray today will encourage you in this. It says in Philemon 1:6, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. There's something powerful that happens in your life when you say yes to Jesus and telling others about the gospel. Something powerful happens. It's like when you go from being the learner, the student, to being the teacher. Some of you have had this opportunity in your workplace. Maybe some of you are teachers. I guarantee what you've learned is this. You learn, you embrace so much more when you have to tell others, when you have to teach it. Because then you have to kind of be ready for that little kid. If you're a teacher, you got to be ready for that little kid to ask you something you've never thought of. And kids will do that. They will ask the most absurd stuff. And you got to be ready for that and be poised for that. And that's what begins to happen in your witness too, that the more you do it, you start to encounter people who have different thoughts, different observations that actually grow your faith. So this is where I want to dig in today, that the fourth reason is our focus. The habit of witness affects our spiritual growth. Now here's a couple of statistics, and then we're going to dig quite into this thing. According to Barna, which does a lot of research on churches, only 73% of born-again believers believe that they have a responsibility to share their faith. That means about a quarter of believers believe they have no responsibility to share their faith. First of all, that is simply not true based on what we've already read together. There is a push from Christ to be disciples who share their faith. And this is an even more challenging statistic. Only 52% say that they actually shared their faith with someone this past year. So clearly inside of the church, now that may not be our church. I have no idea. I've not done some kind of survey on our church with this. But I bet is the case that many of you are scared, or there might be a variety of reasons why you've not shared your faith much in your life. And I want to encourage you this morning, not out of a sense of guilt, but out of a sense of God is ready to do something miraculous in your life if you'll let him. If you'll, as we said earlier, yield. So let me relieve the tension for just a second, okay? I already know why so many of you haven't shared your faith much. There's reasons that we all have in common. Maybe a big one that I hear from a lot of people is this. They fear that a question will be asked that they can't answer. They're afraid they don't have enough knowledge. I'll refute that right away. Let me just tell you this. When you tell somebody else, hey, you know what? I don't know the answer to that one yet, but I'm going to look into it. And let's talk again. I've never, ever encountered someone or met someone that said, oh, you don't know this answer now? I'll never listen to you again. I've never met that person. Instead, it seems like most people would give you enough grace to say, okay, well, bring that back to me because I've been wondering that a long time. Or rejection. Maybe they fear that the person won't like them anymore. That could be the case. That's a legitimate fear, similar to a disapproval that maybe I'm going to come across as too religious or uncool. You're uncool already. Let me just give you that. I mean, it's you know, at some point you become uncool. It's happened to me now. My kids call me Unc sometimes. I'm like, what is going on? What's going on here? And I am a little. I'm having some leg pains lately. I'm full on broke. But yeah, it happens to all of us. Eventually, you know what, though? Let me just point this out. Let me put this out to you. I think even when I was in high school, I was a little bit goofy, right? I don't think I've ever been cool. And guess what? Most people weren't. When I interact with teenagers that call me Unc, let me just tell you this. They are not cool. They say ridiculous things. They don't know what they're talking about, but they also think that of me. So guess what? We're all uncool. So let's just stop worrying about that part. But I get it. Hey, that disapproval can be, it may even seem impolite to discuss Christ. I found, though, something interesting just to point out. Discuss the person of Jesus instead of the church or religion. Something's more powerful there. Let's talk about Christ. Let's talk about the resurrection. Those things seem to be a better place to spend your time than Baptist or this denomination. Those things are, I try to stay away from those. Or perhaps, and this is some of you in the room, let me just go ahead and relieve the tension. I'm an introvert. I don't really want to talk to anyone. I know who you are. I know who you are because we've never talked, right? I'm just kidding. I'm a bit of an introvert too. I have to really push myself by the grace of God to do beyond that. And so, let's dig in today. I hope that today will not only relieve those tensions, but also encourage and challenge you to yield to the Holy Spirit in your life. Because guess what? Here's what I know is true. This is just a fact. I cannot be in your workplace to share the gospel. And no one else can. And if you think it's an accident that God put you in the position you're in, you'd be wrong, my friend. He put you where you are to be the light in your workplace and no one else. Now, you might can ask him, and I would encourage you to do so, why did you choose me to be in this? That's a fair question, and he's not going to hesitate to answer it. You'll immediately start to feel something. God, hey, why me? I've asked him that many times for this role. Like, God, why me? I feel very much like I'm not the right guy sometimes. And I bet you feel that way. But I can't be where you are, and none of the rest of us can. He's uniquely gifted you and called you to be a witness right where you are. So hear that. We're going to be in the book of Acts chapter 4 together today. I know that this is going to encourage you. We're going to be here reading from the writer Luke here, who writes and records the early church. That's what the book of Acts is all about, is the early history of the first century church. And here he recorded that the first century believers were committed to witnessing to others about Jesus. They were committed regardless of persecution, regardless of fears. And these are legitimate fears, my friends. There are real things out there that would cause you to run from this, but they decided to stay committed. And the church, guess what happened? The church exploded. It is because of the first century church that you and I are in this room today. So I'm very thankful for them. But there's another generation that's going to be thankful for you, my friend. There's another generation coming that's going to be thankful you said yes and yielded to the Holy Spirit. So let's dig in. We're going to see how we can cultivate a habit of witnessing to others about Jesus. And I believe the text will give three essential reasons we can cultivate this habit. So let's dig in. A few verses out of Acts chapter 4, it says, let me go to my next page here. Acts 4:29, it says, "Now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. This is God's word. Amen? Amen. I pray this encourages you today, that you would feel that you can yield to what the Spirit's doing in your life right now. Three essentials for cultivating the habit of witness. The first one, and maybe the main one, this is the starting point, the middle point, the end point. It's a big point. And that is, we start with prayer. Prayer. The number one essential to yielding to the Spirit and the habit of being a witness, to be an evangelist in your workplace, among your family, it starts with prayer. Asking God to to grant you witnessing opportunities, to give you the right words, to give you the wisdom, to know how to say it, prayer. Look what it says. It says, after they prayed, in verse 31, look what it says. Verse 29, Lord, look upon their threats. This whole thing is a prayer. Prayer, my friends, is not a footnote to evangelism. It is not. It is the foundation. It is the starting point. It's the plow, if you will, that prepares the soil for other people to hear. Long before someone says yes to Jesus, you've probably been praying for them. Some of you have been praying for family members for years. One day they're going to come to faith and you're going to remember the time spent just asking, Lord, please. And it'll be even more outstanding when he shows up. Some it seems, we do this thing here at our church, and I would encourage you on your way out, there's this little table off to the right that has just a few of these little envelopes. And on those, they're orange, it says it's time, but inside it says long shots. Some of you need to write that down today. There's somebody in your life that is a long shot. It seems impossible for them to come to faith, in fact. I want you to write that name down and put it in that bucket, and we're praying for those every week. I go by that thing every week and just put my hand on it and pray. I don't know who's in there, but I'm with you. We're praying together. There's some people that are going to come to faith, and where does it start? It starts with prayer, asking God, hey, not only would you move and stir their heart, but give me an opportunity. This is where the disciples, this is where the early church began their ministry, in prayer. Look what it says in verse 29. It says, Lord, look upon their threats. They don't waste any time worrying about what's going on around them. You gotta really love this. You gotta love their approach, because I have to admit something to you. I would be terrified. Guess who's in the room? They get captured for speaking the name of Jesus among the Sanhedrin, among some of the same people that tried and crucified Jesus. And Peter and John and whoever else there is there in their group, their entourage together, they get taken and they are told, stop speaking that name. And they just say, well, who are we to listen to you? We have to listen to God. We have to do what God tells us. And they just keep on speaking boldly. These are the same men that just crucified their Savior. I got to tell you something. Maybe I'm not quite where they are. I want to be. I got to admit something. There are times where I'm like, Lord, can you please remove this thing from my life? Whatever this thing is, it's too hard. It's too tough. It's causing me stress. It's and I complain and I'm anxious and God, take it away. That's not how they pray. Do y'all see how they pray? Hey, God, you see that over there? I'm going to leave that to you. What a cool way to pray. Instead of, hey, God, would you do something about the Sanhedrin? Just go ahead and remove them and just toss them over there, right? Just go ahead and put them right in the sea. I'm done with them. That's how you and I might pray. And I don't blame you for that, my friend. That's not how they pray. God, look on their threats. But for us, let us preach with boldness. That's the only thing they pray for themselves. They don't pray, hey, remove the obstacles. Remove that terrible boss in my life that is making my life miserable. It's not what they pray. Hey, God, you see that? He's making it difficult to be a Christian, but God, you look upon him. Help me to preach, to speak your word with boldness. That's a different way to pray. Lord, I'm heading home. Some of you, the season is coming, right? We start getting deep in the fall, and the season comes where you start being with family. And some of you are praying about that already. Because it's hard. Thanksgiving doesn't always feel so thankful. Christmas is tough, right? And you got to do it like you just feel like. And every year you and your spouse get together and go, I wish we could just stay home. I know a lot of you are out here. I get it. What would it look like instead to start saying, look on their threats, God? Go ahead and look at my mom or my uncle or my sister, or my sibling, whoever it is that makes this so difficult. God, do you see that? Help me to just be a light when I go home over the holidays. Help me to speak your word with boldness. That workplace, I bet you're bumping into people, a lot of you, that reject who you are. God, look on their threats. I love this. Instead, he says in verse 29, grant to your servants. The word servants here is the word doulos. Most often in the New Testament, this is translated slave. Bondsman, servant of the Lord. He says, grant to your slaves, your servants, we are servants of no one else but you, Lord Jesus, give us boldness. I love this. Freedom in speaking. Speaking what? He says, your word. That is the gospel, the word of God. We are out here, and you know what they're getting in trouble for? They're getting in trouble for one thing, really. It's this one name. And this one name, we just sang about it. I speak Jesus. There's something special about it. There's something powerful going on when you speak that name. And the Sanhedrin are saying, stop saying that name. Oh, who are we to tell God, no, we're going to keep going. Help us to speak your word with boldness, the name, the gospel of Christ. The Apostle Paul asked the Colossians to pray for open doors for the gospel. This is a consistent theme, if you look through the New Testament, of praying for us to have opportunities to witness. Not praying for the removal of hard things. That's there sometimes, but most often it's open doors. Colossians 4, it says, at the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Why in the world is Paul not saying, pray for me to get out of prison? It's not there. Pray for me to have an opportunity to speak the gospel, although I'm in prison. Well, pray to get out of prison. Nope. Y'all know this other prison story with Paul? There's another one. The jailer comes to faith. Some of the inmates probably come to faith. God blows the doors open. Your situation is on purpose, my friend. You're where you're supposed to be. Say yes and yield to the Holy Spirit in your life. He's put you where he wants you to share the faith right where you are. I love it. This is how the men of God prayed in the New Testament. It's how the men of God, the people of God, still pray. There's a couple of wonderful stories. I don't want to read these completely out because they're rather long, but they happen later in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8 and then in Acts chapter 16. There's this wonderful story in Acts chapter 8 where Philip is praying and seeking the Lord, and the Lord tells him exactly where to go. He's not out like canvassing randomly. No, he's asking God, what would you have me do? And the Holy Spirit tells him, hey, go over to that chariot and speak the word of the Lord to him. And the Bible goes on to say that that man came to faith and they were baptized there. And then something really cool happens. You need to read this story, Acts chapter 8. All of a sudden, Philip is just taken to another place like 30 miles away. I don't know what's going on there. That's pretty cool. That's never happened to me, but I'm longing for it, all right? I just want to be sharing the faith with somebody. They come to faith, and then boom, I'm in Wilson, or I'm somewhere else. That would be sweet. I don't know if it'll happen. God doesn't do a lot of encores. He does other things. So Philip, the story, though, is Philip's responding to the gospel. Paul is also in prayer that he might continue. Did you know when Paul first starts his missionary journeys, he's trying to go east. He's trying to go towards Asia, and God provides him a dream that there's a man in Macedonia calling to him, and he prevents him from going this way. Now, why that is, I don't know. We'd have to really pray and ask the Lord why, but he has his reasons. Instead, he calls Paul towards Greece, towards Macedonia, and then the church explodes. But it all began with prayer. Do you see this? The people of God are praying for open doors. So, friends, the first essential to the spiritual habit of witnessing is your prayer life. Devote yourself to prayer. It's not a footnote to your evangelism. You want to see people come to faith around you? You want your kids to come to faith? You should be praying every day. You should never tire of praying for your children. I don't care if they're 1 or 21. Be in prayer for them and their faith. Be in prayer for your families, for your coworkers. It starts with prayer. You got it? I hope so. I'm done with this point, so I don't know. I hope you got it. Here's the second essential. Power. I like this one. Prayer's fun. I want some power too. Look at how they prayed and look at what they're asking for. They're asking for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, for the Lord himself to empower their witness. I got to admit something to you, church. I've not prayed much like this in my life, but I'm going to start working on that. They come out and say, hey, Lord, look at their threats, but give us just one thing. Grant us just one thing. Let us speak with boldness. But then, Lord, you do something only you can do. You stretch out your hand to heal. You do signs and wonders, O Lord Jesus. You show yourself off. What a way to pray. Hey, Lord, if people want proof, you be their proof. I can't do it. Guess what, church? Your words will never be enough to prove the truth of the gospel to anyone. They never will. The Holy Spirit of God has to come and move. Apologetics is a class I really loved in seminary, and I think it really can build your faith. But you can know all the details of how to deal with an atheist or an agnostic and all the details about how to deal with other world religions. But guess what? Words will never save. The Holy Spirit of God will and can and does. This is how they're praying. Let us speak with boldness. Yes, God, but you, please, Lord, heal. Stretch out your hand for your name's sake. This is all here in verse 30. I love what Barnes, one commentator writing on this, says. He says, the apostles not only desired boldness to speak, but they asked that God would continue to work miracles and thus furnish to them and to the people evidence of the truth of what they delivered. Y'all ever prayed like this? God, you do something powerful in people's lives so that they would believe. Show them yourself and move them and stir them. And it's all around what? Look at verse 30. The name of Jesus. Through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. There's power in the name. And guess what happens? They start praying like this. I don't think we'd be ready for this, church. I'm just going to go ahead and throw this out here. It says the place, verse 31, was shaken. I think all of our electronics are already messing up. That would probably do them in fully, right? We'd be done today. I just have to shout at you. That'd be pretty cool, though. We're in here praying together. Lord, make us bold. Lord, heal and make signs of wonders. And all of a sudden, shaken. Almost every commentator I read on this agreed that this word here, shaken, probably means the idea of an earthquake. That suddenly the ground shook. I've had some pretty amazing experiences with the Lord, but this one would have been pretty encouraging. To be with the church, to be with believers, and the building's rocking. It says then, verse 31, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, supplied. This is always going to be true, my friend. This is why this is one of these spiritual habits. This is one of these spiritual disciplines, because at the end of the day, the goal in Christian life is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the ultimate goal, to know God, to walk with Him, and be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Then the things we say, the moves we make, the way we think, it's all inspired by God. It changes us wholly, completely. I've had people ask me before, you know, if I come to this Jesus, if I come to Christ, is he gonna change this stuff? Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you, my friend. He probably wants to change everything. But look at you and look at me. We're a hot mess without him. Why don't we just go ahead and say yes and let him begin to move and stir and change the things that we always were broken about and miserable about. Let him in and yield to that. And something powerful happens when we start saying yes to Jesus in our witness, when we start saying, okay, you can have that too. I'm afraid. You lay all that at his feet. God, I'm afraid. I don't know what's going to happen. My family might like disown me and push me out. My coworkers, I'm not going to have any friends. I don't know what's going to happen. You see how now this might cause you to grow in your faith? It causes you to trust. Say, okay. It's up to you, Lord. It's up to you. Acts 1:8 says this very plainly, that Jesus, before the ascension, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and where? The ends of the earth. We're in the ends of the earth now. We're not in any of those places. The gospel has gone to the ends, and we get to be a part of that. There's a lot of things operating in here today. There's this wonderful projector above me, right? All of these things are working, and there's lyrics on the screens because none of us know all the words. I mean, there's stuff happening all around us. And guess what happens to, I'm just going to admit something to y'all. Y'all might not know this because our band is great. I mean, they're solid. But if the power goes out, we don't know a single one of these words hardly. Christy might, but I don't. I don't have a clue. And what's even worse, y'all don't know this. We got these little numbers running at the bottom of that screen back there. They actually tell us what to play. If you learn those numbers, now we know, oh, that's a G. That one's a G. That's how bad we are. All right? I know they're exceptional, right? They're great. But we have to admit something. If the power goes out, it gets weird around here. It could get good too, you know. But this is what's incredible about the gospel. What's incredible about our witness is some of us have tried this in the past. Some of us have tried to share our faith without the power of the Holy Spirit. We tried to do it as a box to check off. Maybe it was something you did back in Sunday school. Maybe you were on a youth camp or something in the past, and the guys were shouting and say, hey, let's all, we're going to hit the streets. And I've been at youth camps like that. And you end up sharing your faith, and some poor guy at the door answers and dumbfounded by what you just told him. And that can work. I'm not belittling that. That could work. But I know for me, sometimes it's checking off a box. I had a class, in fact, in seminary called Supervised Field Ministry, which sounds wild. Supervised Field Ministry. We all went out as a team to share our faith. And we were getting, this is crazy, y'all. Y'all are going to think, man, this is some broken stuff. We were actually getting critiqued by someone. There was an instructor that was watching from a distance how we did, how we presented it. It was spooky. And I don't think a lot of us had a lot of success that day. Now, I'm not saying God couldn't have done that. He could have. But I know what was wrong with me. I had to get an A on this class. And that's no reason to share your faith, my friend. God doesn't need you to share the gospel to save people. Do you understand that? He's saving people all the time with or without you. This is an opportunity for you to grow. And I've had some wonderful experiences in my life, but I got to tell you, seeing someone else come to salvation is up there. Maybe tops for me. Knowing this person, we're walking into eternity together, that's amazing. And how that builds my faith. Remember this, it's the power of God. Invite people then just to the name. Invite them to Jesus. Tell them about the cross and the resurrection. You don't have to know all the answers. I haven't studied every aspect of my Bible. That's okay. Just tell them about Christ and what he's done for you and start there. And here's the third essential. And this one makes a lot of sense. Prayer, power, and because I love you, proclamation. You see him? Peace. It's because I love you. I care, right? You're not going to remember these tomorrow, but you might. Prayer, power, and proclamation. Now do it. Boldly speak of Jesus to others. I love that in these just few verses, we get the answer to prayer. Look at the very last sentence. It says, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. That's what they were praying for, and they very well did it. Awesome. Awesome. This was the grace they had asked for in just a few verses before, and God gave it to them, and all the graces necessary for them. Their threats didn't stop them. The fear. Hey, there's some legitimate stuff for us to be afraid of, but we have to admit something. It was spookier then. It was life and death then. It's probably not generally life and death for us, although it is in other parts of the world. It says they spoke boldly. Paul said that they talked about Jesus everywhere they went. In Colossians chapter 1, it says, so everywhere we go, we tell everyone about Christ. Do you see his evangelism strategy? It's not, hey, what is the doctrine of justification? Hey, can we talk about baptism? Hey, you guys need to come to a good old Baptist church. That's not his way. Everywhere we go, everyone we meet, we talk to them about who? Jesus. That's a good start. Now, I'm not saying those doctrines, a lot of those, super important. Redemption, justification, all of these things, super important, and they're in the scriptures. But it begins with the name of Jesus. He says, we warn them and teach them with all the wisdom God has given us, for we want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. And when we revere Jesus like this, we're always ready to talk about him. Here's my prayer, and has been my prayer for you all week. It starts getting way easier to talk about your faith when you just wholeheartedly fall in love with the Savior. Follow me for a second. This isn't a guilt trip. I'm not trying to make you feel ashamed. But just consider for this for just a moment. Some of you in the room have just started dating. You just got engaged. You just got married. You're new to some love. If I come up and ask you about him or her, let's be honest, I don't even have to ask. I can come up and just say, how's life going? What's new? You got to meet. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I don't even have to work at it to find out what you care about. You see what I'm saying? When you fall in love with something, hey, you first start a job that's finally the thing you studied for, the career you've been hungry for, and you finally get in there, and it truly is the thing you were purposed and made to do. And then I ask you, hey, man, how's life? I love my work. I'm doing something important. Or conversely, if you absolutely hate it, you can't help but talk about it then too. What does that mean? What does that mean? It's about passion. It's about the fire. So what am I saying? What are you saying, Jonathan? When you find your heart set on Jesus, witness just becomes breath. Do you see what I'm saying to you? The Savior of the world took on the cross so that you and I could be free, not just now, but forever. We get eternity of freedom, brokenness paid for, the pains of your past dealt with, the messed up stuff you've yet to do paid for. You understand the cost of the cross? The more you spend time with him, and this is true in your relationships, the more you spend time with people that you love and really devote yourself in those relationships, the more you talk about it. I just pray, church, that you would find your passion in Christ Jesus, because part of your spiritual act of worship is witness. These things are not to be separated. It's not like, hey, one moment I can be praising. On the way to work, I've got my tunes on, I've cranked it up, and I'm praising. I speak Jesus all the way to work. And then I get in the doors and I don't speak Jesus. It's confusing. I just want you to know, stop separating the two. You can come in humming it. I'm not quite ready to sing it, but come in humming it. What you humming over there? God's really moving in my life today. It's not that, I mean, we'd make it overly complex. Speak it in the car and in the, and then some of you speak it on the way home because boy, you really need to get back into worship on the way back from work. Before you come into your homes and totally just claymore all of your children, like, ah, today was awful. Speak Jesus on the way home, too. This Christian life was never meant to be like dissected, like we're waffles or something, supposed to compartmentalize every part of this. No, it's all meant to just bunch together. My worship and my praise and my prayer and my devotional life, it all just mingles together. These three essentials match so well with the church's early history. If you go back and read the chapters before Acts 4, and I would encourage you this week, if you're looking for something to study, study Acts, the book of Acts from 1 on, and you're going to just be moved and stirred in the way God has called them and in the way they reacted. But in Acts chapter 1, it says what we read earlier, that you will receive power. Holy Spirit's going to come on you. You're going to be my witnesses everywhere. And then guess what they did next? Jesus tells them, hey, go back to Jerusalem and stay there until the Spirit falls. Stay there. This is what's fascinating, is they go back and they prayed for 10 days and then they spoke. I've said this before. Some of you have been around long enough. We get that backwards. We'll preach and we'll praise and we'll do all that for 10 days, but we only prayed for a few minutes. Understand the pattern of the early churches. Pray a ton and then preach. And that's our pattern. Should be. Pray a ton and then speak boldly. And then the Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, and then Peter preaches in Acts chapter 2, and 3,000 people get saved. Now, you can ask them really interesting questions there. It's like God told them, Christ told them, hey, wait until the Spirit falls. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you guys, then you go preach. Now, why did he wait 10 days? Just so you know, if you ever ask the Bible a why question, you may not get that answer, all right? They're not always there. And I'm not sure what the answer is other than this. I think the Lord Jesus wants us to really be devoted in our prayer. Spend a lot of time with him in humility. And then he moves. Incredible. This third essential is about relying on the power
being in prayer, and then finally, when the timing's right, proclaiming. And we will know that. The first century believers were threatened to stop speaking this name. I want to give you one application today. All right, these points, if you notice, these three essentials, normally if you come here, I give you these like really applicable points. This time I gave you these three words, and they are certainly application. But let me encourage you to try one thing this week. It's going to be a little spooky, all right? One thing, try to bring up the name of Jesus every day to someone outside of the faith. Just try to bring up the name Jesus every day this week. I got a feeling if you'll come back to church next week, we're going to hear some stories. We're going to hear some stories. Oh, Jonathan, I don't know what does that even mean? It's just, what's he doing in your life? What's your walk with Christ looking like right now? Find a way to weave it into some conversation this week. Just one a day. It might get to be so fun you'll do it more than once a day, but I'd love to hear how God moves in your life. I got a feeling if you'll say yes to that first challenge, when we have a passion for Jesus, when we love him above all others, we get this kind of boldness. When we decide to cultivate a spiritual habit of witness, incredible things begin to happen. So will you do these three things this week? Pray diligently, rely on the power of Christ, ask him to move. Lord Jesus, I say yes, I'm gonna speak your name every day. Would you now move? Pray like the disciples prayed. God, you stretch out your hand. All I have is words. Will you move? Pray like that, and then boldly proclaim, he's with you. Let me end with this final verse. We recited it earlier in baptism. We talked about the Mark passage. You know what Jesus says in the Great Commission? All power has been given to me, all authority. So go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he ends by saying this, and behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. He's with us. Fear not, friends. Pray boldly. Let's pray now together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are a good and gracious and merciful God, that you love us and set us free, that the whole reason for our witness, the whole reason that we can't seem to be quiet about Jesus is because of what you've done. God, I was far from you, a broken man, and I've done many things wrong, and that is your congregation today. That is this church. We come here broken, having made mistakes, and yet, Christ Jesus, you saved us and set us free. I pray that that would so encourage us today, that we would be so reminded of that today, that it would embolden our speech, that we would have such a heartfelt passion for what Christ has done, is doing, and will do in our life that we can't help but speak up. God, would you do that in your people? I'm convinced of this, Lord. No matter what we try outreach-wise, the tools we use to try to reach people online and in the city, and the loving actions we do where we give and we're generous, and all of those things are great and they're useful. But God, nothing has changed since the church started. Your most powerful tool of bringing people to faith is your people, us. Embolden your people now that in their workplaces they are the one true light, that you put them there for a specific purpose to bear witness of your good gospel. Would you encourage them? Remove their fears. Help them to lay that at your feet so that they could say yes. God, I will be your witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. I'm going to do it in my home. I'm going to do it in my community. I'm going to do it in my workplace. I'm going to do it as far as you tell me to go, Lord. It's a yes from me. God, I pray your people would say that today. And as a result, that you would move and stir in their life. We pray boldly as a church today, would you stretch out your hand in Rocky Mount, God? With healing, with signs, with wonders, would you do miracles in our city so that people would know that it was the name of Jesus, that it was the great gospel, they would know it and they would come to faith. Do the part only you can do in bringing men to yourself. We pray boldly that, Lord Jesus, and help us simply to speak your word boldly. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.